Our scripture today is from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13 to 20. Let's pray before we start reading this. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this chance to be in your word together. We ask you, Lord, for your mercy in helping us to hear what it is that you have for us. And on the expounding of the word, when I speak the sermon, I pray for your mercy, that we again might hear only what you have for us. Anything that's not from you, we pray it's forgotten, that your name may be praised above all things. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 13 to 20. Hear now God's word. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, now I'm going to start with a stupid pastor's question. It's a stupid question because you know the answer. I mean, it's not going to take a lot of thinking. But you can help one another, too. All right, so here's the question. How many senses do we have? How many? Five. Five senses. What are they? I heard taste, right? Did I hear taste? Smell. Touch. Did I hear touch? What, hearing? One more. What, seeing? Seeing? That's right. Taste, touch, hearing, seeing, smell. All right, now here's another question. Again, a stupid pastor's question. But this one's a stupid pastor's question because, spoiler alert, there's no answer. Okay, so it's a different stupid pastor question. So, which one is the most important? Really depends, on what you think. They're all pretty important. I don't know if there's a most important. Maybe there is. But I'll share with you the most important for me, the one that, if I were to rank them in order, the most important sense for me would be touch. Touch is an important thing for me. Being hugged, having my hand held, things I love. Stephanie loves getting her feet rubbed. But because I'm a person of touch, I actually love rubbing her feet. Just the touch sensation is very important to me. And it's a very powerful thing. Touch can be extremely powerful. You can change a person's life for the better through touch. Giving that shoulder brush or hug of encouragement at the deepest, lowest part of their life. But as good as touch can be, it can also be a force of badness, too. That unwanted touch, that touch of pain in a moment of a person's life when they're seeking support, can be an awful thing that, again, can change a person's life for the bad, that can affect them for years to come. Touch is a really powerful responsibility that we all have for one another, and it should be done well and correctly. Now, along with touch, there's another thing reach is very connected to touch. And there's different reasons that we reach. We reach when we want to help someone. We reach and we put a hand out when there's someone there that we see who's in need, and we reach out towards them. Now, the neat thing about reach is that it is a motion that takes two. It is me desiring you. It's something that can combine, can connect two people with one another. Reach can also be a sign of help, reaching out to receive someone else's help. If you see someone who has fallen down, oftentimes they will reach up asking for help. If you see someone fallen down, sometimes you will reach out to help them. It's a move, a motion that connects us because of something that is needed in that moment. Reach can also be a form of desire. The reach is to yearn for someone. The reach for that person that you're in love with. It's a wonderful feeling when that's returned. Reach is a connecting action. It helps to bind two people to one another in that moment. Now, this painting here is called The Creation of Adam. Who painted this? Does anyone know? Pretty well-known painting, right? A hint of one of the Ninja Turtles. Yeah, Michelangelo. Yeah. He's a Ninja Turtle with the nunchucks. Yeah, so Michelangelo painted this picture where? Sistine Chapel. And where is it located in the Sistine Chapel? On the ceiling. And where is the Sistine Chapel located? What country? Yeah, so that was a stupid pastor question, you know, because it's a trick question. It's not located in the country of Italy. It's located in the country of the Vatican. The Vatican is a sovereign land all its own, and it's considered one of the very smallest countries. Vatican is located in Italy. So the Sistine Chapel is a small chapel, probably about the size of this area right here. If bigger, not much. Quite small. And it feels like a museum. You know, you go in and you see beautiful paintings. They're all on the ceiling and they come down the sides about quarter of the way. And all the paintings tell beautiful stories that you find in the Bible. Now, we have beautiful works of art, too. We got the picture here of Jesus, the angel, meaning the women after Jesus resurrected. Got a picture of Jesus as a child in the temple in the back here. Jesus ministering to a child. Picture of Mary with baby Jesus. Most of the pictures you find in the Bible represent pictures that help to breed encouragement and hope and joy and faith. And they're so wonderful pictures. Now, the Sistine Chapel, before it is what it is now, it was a church building. People worship there. A preacher, a priest, would stand up front and they would preach to the masses that showed up in this chapel. It was a place of worship, much like this one. Except when people got there, they could look up and see beautiful works of art. However, this particular work of art is a picture, the bigger picture is a picture of God straining from the heavens, stretching out as far as God can go in order to try to reach humanity, the one he created, Adam specifically. And then the next picture is a picture of Adam laying on what looks like a clamshell or a cloud. I don't know what it is. He's laying down and he's kind of just relaxing. I don't know. This is how Adam relaxes. And his arm is bent and his hand is limp and his finger is limp and he is, you know, that's God. Kind of pointing, but doing little else. It's not exactly the most encouraging picture in the world. It's not exactly a picture that gives us a lot of hope and a lot of joy and a lot of peace. In fact, when the people were sitting in the pews listening to the priest speak in the Sistine Chapel, and they looked up, and this kind of takes center stage of the Sistine Chapel. They look up and they see a warning, an indictment on humanity. God strains and reaches and yearns and desires for relationship and contact and bond with us. And man, who is completely capable, just doesn't put forth a lot of effort. Now, this is a warning. But the joy is that God has given us a way for us also to reach out towards God. And through Jesus, that's in prayer. And our scripture today in James is about the importance of prayer within a community of faith. You're suffering, pray. If you're cheerful, sing songs of praise, which is prayer, but joyfully so. That when we pray, we bind together with one another in order to contact God, to also be bound to God. Prayer is a gift that Christ has given us, that God has given us in order that we may know God and be in relationship with God. To pray means to reach out our hands to God who is straining for us and touch Him and be within God's presence. There are so many different ways that we can pray, so many different attitudes that we can take during our prayer. But as the children showed us earlier today, that the words can be all our own. The formulaic prayers are very nice and they're very helpful and they're very necessary. Sometimes praying from where we are too is also helpful. There was once three ministers who were arguing about the proper way to pray. One minister said that the only way that one should pray is by sitting in a chair and folding your hands and closing your eyes. That's the proper way to pray. Another minister says, no, the proper way to pray is to rejoice, to stand with arms wide open and your head towards heaven. That's the only way to pray. And another pastor said, no, the only way to pray is to get on your knees, to fold your hands and to bow your head. That's the only way to pray. Man in the restaurant where they were talking heard them speak, and he came over to them and he said, I heard you talking about prayer. And he said, I want to tell you a story. He says, I work on a farm and I was working on my well one day and I slipped and fell inside the well and I was upside down with my head below my feet. And he said, in that position, I prayed the best prayer I've ever prayed in my entire life. The position of our prayers may not be as important as the position of our hearts. That in prayer, with our hearts turned towards the Lord, Christ, who reaches out to us, allows us to grasp His hand. I pray that we are a church that relies upon prayer, that doesn't stop praying for one another in our needs everywhere. Pray that we're a church that prays for Trafford, because prayer matters. Prayer is powerful and prayer counts, because it's that moment that we can be in contact with God. Pray that we pray for one another. We pray for ourselves, that we may draw closer to God in all things, that we don't let go of that hand, that touch that God so desires for us. I thank God for that opportunity, for God's straining to reach us, and I pray that we reach Him also. Share with you this final prayer with one another. Thank you, our Lord. for this time of rest and nourishment. Now send us to our station. Help us that I neither slip nor wander from the road that you have marked out for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace, knowing that the love of the Lord goes with you also.